This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Brand image consulting is the art and science of guiding individuals and companies to manage their image and create a powerful brand. Wendy Lee is a professional image consultant and the founder of Chapter One Asia, an award-winning brand image consultancy firm. She's been voted as one of Asia's most inspiring speakers and is also director of the world's first Brand Image International Institute, a joint collaboration with Open University Malaysia. This is her Vantage on Resource Centre and I'm Maya Tan. Welcome, Wendy.
Hi, Maya.
Now, Wendy, how did you get into this business? Do you have a lovely bit of history for us?
Well, it's actually by coincidence. I spent about 10 years of my corporate life with the pharmaceutical and biotech, well, in the pharmaceutical and biotech industry. So it was actually quite a different, you know, switch altogether. But I suppose, you know, what's meant to be happened. The company that I was with at that time was, you know, it was in the midst of acquisition, merger, and a lot of all these big companies were taking over smaller companies and all that. So I was at a crossroad whereby I couldn't decide whether should I go, continue on with my career with the company, mm-hmm. or should I stay back in Malaysia, because at that time they wanted me to go over to Singapore to expand my portfolio. So it was actually a very good business opportunity. But then I decided to stay back with my husband. So I chose love over career. So I started this thing. At first, it was actually a little bit difficult because nobody knew what image consulting was about, what more brand image consulting. But I took up a course and slowly but surely, that's how I got into it.
Mm, and where did you do this course?
Well, I did mine with an Australian teacher over in Singapore. So at that time, over in Malaysia, I don't think there's anyone that's qualified to do this.
Right.
So what she did was she gathered all the South Asian students over in Singapore. I don't know why she never came into Malaysia. It was much cheaper then. And that was how I took it up.
I see. Yeah. So can you tell us why it's important to work on one's brand image?
Well, interestingly, if you don't manage the perception of how other people look at you, then other people will be they're constantly observing your behavior and forming judgment about you. Mm. So if you don't manage it yourself, then other people will actually form an impression for you. Right? So it is actually very important for you to pay a little bit more attention to how people are perceiving you.
What are some of the aspects that go into brand image?
One of the things that I would like to clarify here is that brand image, we have actually gone a step above just image consulting. Mm. So with brand image, there's personal branding, right? You have to look into not only your outer image, because a lot of times people will be focusing on visual. But in brand image, you have also things like, you know, your other hidden parts, your value system, you know, your assumed image. We call this the five elements are what made up to your total image.
Right.
So we have your hidden image, we have your assumed image, how people look at you, or what we call your reputation. Then we have experience image, whether, you know, you are an experienced person. That's why age matters sometimes, right?
I see.
And then we have something called proven image, whether you do what you promise to do, you know, that kind of thing.
In your track record.
So brand image actually has gone a little bit higher than just an image per se as a visual image.
Hmm. Mm. So, well, obviously this goes beyond just hair and makeup makeovers.
Yeah.
But let's start with the external aspects of brand image, because it is what gives people their first impressions, right?
Yes.
And like it or not, first impressions do stick around until you can prove otherwise.
Mm-mm.
So are there any codes that we should bear in mind when we dress in a professional capacity?
I think to make it easier, however you want people to perceive you, you must always remember that you need, in a professional world, okay, you need to look able, you need to look attractive, and you need to look assured, right? So, you know, like some people pay a little bit more attention to, if I come to work, I need to wear a suit, all right? But if the suit doesn't fit the person, then it defeats the purpose. You would still not look attractive.
Right.
And somehow, subconsciously, regardless of whether you're fashion conscious or not fashion conscious, you'll be able to tell whether a person is a little bit more old-fashioned or whether that suit has been with him or her for, like, you know, ages. Yeah.
And I guess in some situations, and depending on the job, it really doesn't matter. For example, your accountant, whom right. you know is very, very steadfast and very, very solid in his principles and in his work. Mm-hmm. Even if he's wearing that jacket from graduation, it doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't matter that much. Mm. However, sometimes, you know, when we talk about first impression, unless you're talking about working with that person already. Mm. But let's say if this person, this accountant or whatever, comes out and meets someone and he's wearing an old faded jacket or whatever.
Right.
First impression is that I'll just look at him and say, okay, he's not a very competent person.
Mm.
You know, because if you're a competent person, by right, how you take care of yourself would be sort of like a sign for me as to how you're going to take care of my work.
Right. Mm. So what are some aspects that will help you look attractive, assured and...
Able.
Yes.
So you have to know or understand how your body works. Mm. Say, for example, you have a certain body shape. So these are the things that you try to avoid or cover up. So we have camouflage techniques for you to look into. You know, so say, for example...
I like that. Camouflage
techniques. If, let's say, visually, you have a little bit of larger hips, all right? So you not put anything that is what we call focal points down there. So you do try to avoid wearing hipster belts, for example, or you have patch pockets right there.
Mm.
You know, then it will be very distractive and people will just stare at that place.
Right.
All right. So these are some of the little things. But color-wise, we should also pay a little bit more attention as in like in professional world, you have to not shock people with, you know, color blocks, for example. You save that when you go out shopping, but not in a professional world because...
Right, or when you're at a party, perhaps.
Yeah. So the whole idea is you need people to look at you as a competent person, not paying so much attention to your fluorescent yellow mm-hmm. until it becomes very distracting.
Right. Mm. So what are some of the colors that are more acceptable? For example, we know that the President of the United States will always wear blue when mm-hmm. he's about to deliver a very serious announcement because research has shown that blue promotes trust.
Yes, I think across the board, the meaning of colors never changed.
Mm.
All right. It's just maybe fashion did.
Right.
Right. So fashion will change, but colors like blue, for example, that signifies stability, you know, trustworthiness, it will always, always be there. Unless the media, you know, suddenly starts to say bad things about blue, then becomes otherwise.
So yeah. We are still sort of susceptible to influences.
Right, mm. from everywhere.
And I suppose, say, you know, you're at a job interview and you want to project yourself as a very able person, you would not be wearing something light and fluffy and pink. And
pink is good for meeting mother-in-laws.
Oh, I see. Yes.
You know, right, but not so much of...
demure personality.
I think it's all generally worldwide is accepted. Mm. You know, if you talk about red, of course, socially, culture-wise, you look at Chinese would love red a bit more, you know, but still in the interview world, we would not... you know, dress in red suits first.
Yeah. Are there any industries that are more susceptible to brand image?
Right now, we see a growing trend. Last time when I first started this career as an image consultant, a brand image consultant, the industry that pays a lot of attention to all this image and branding and all that will always be generally either the hospitality industry, all right, or banks. Yeah, they would pay a little bit more attention to that. However, right now we see like properties, especially those developers that are growing from, let's say they used to build low-cost flats, now going towards a little bit more high-end. Right?
Right.
So now they realize that the people that they've been with or have been, those people that have been with them since 10 years ago, they're still with them, but they still project that low-cost look.
Right.
As in like low-cost flat. It's a different ball game altogether now that you're trying to shift everybody towards, you know, selling high-end properties. That's why the trend now is, regardless of whatever industry, as long as you want to make your brand known, right, and you want to, you know, we call it branding in the 21st century, mm-hmm. whereby people need to experience your brand, your people matters. Right, so here we are going into teaching people how to live and breathe your brand. So it's no longer so much about advertising, you know, putting on big billboards and all that. What matters are the people.
Right.
So industry-wise, we see a growing trend,
mm-hmm.
right, across the board, everybody.
Okay, so now moving on to the intangible,
mm-mm.
what are some of the intangible aspects of your brand image that can influence other people's perspectives of you?
Just like I mentioned earlier, you know, if we slice it down, you have hidden image. Hidden image meaning to say your value system.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for example, now you want people to perceive you as a leader of a project. So you cannot be seen as, you know, having, or what I would like to put it as, let's say you dance naked on the pole, for example. You know? So you can no longer behave like this, right, if you want to be a public figure, for example. You know, so these are your hidden image. So you have to take care of that aspect. And then you also have to take care of experience, image. Now, of course, this one is what we call your people skills. So you talk about etiquette, general etiquette, business etiquette and all that. You have to pay a little bit more attention to that. Now, etiquette is a lot of people like to put it as a soft skills. So sometimes, in terms of etiquette, right, you will be able to see that you actually bring along your background, your culture, you know, how your family were, family members were, or what your education background is. Mm. So that's why sometimes when you look at a person and you say that, oh, this person, you know, probably come from a rough area, you sort of feel it, you know it, but you can't really pinpoint down, mm, right? So you as a person, if you are looking into all this aspect, right, the experience, image and all that, you have to know where you lack, right? So certain things, like, okay, now that you're in the business world, there's certain business etiquette that you have to pay a little bit more attention to.
Right.
I'll give you an example. Just recently, we were invited to a launch installation ceremony. So we were at this place where lunch was served. So there was this person who was sitting next to me. What happened was, you know, this guy, he was chit-chatting with everybody else, but he just never turned to me.
Mm.
You know, and I was like, okay, I'm trying to make a conversation with this person, and he will say something and then after that, turn his attention back to other people.
Right.
So we're like, okay, is it because of what I say, and which I don't think is true, because I was only trying to make a very, you know, those light small talks, house food, da, da, da. And I think partly also he felt a little bit uncomfortable. I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he only stuck on to topics that he knew that were, that he was, that the conversation was about other things like sound system and all that with the men, mm-hmm, with the guys. And he just never turned to me.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, little things like this, it made me uncomfortable. So etiquette-wise, if you make another person uncomfortable, then the discredit will be on you. So as a person, if you look at all these experience skills and all social skills and all that, you have to constantly read more and gain more knowledge so you'll be able to have small talks with everybody else.
I'm speaking to Wendy Lee, brand image consultant and founder of Chapter One Asia, also director of the Brand Image International Institute. In a moment, we'll look at how the science of brand image consulting can empower women in the workplace and also yield many career options. This is Her Vantage on Resource Centre on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is Her Vantage on Resource Centre Enterprise, and I'm Maya Tan. I'm here with Wendy Lee in the studio, and we've been talking about how brand image consultancy can give you that extra edge in the workplace. Now, Wendy, how long have you been doing this?
Oh, long. The 12 years coming to.
Right, yeah, long. Okay. So I imagine that you would have a lot of experiences in this matter. Brand image for women is particularly important because in some environments, for example, women are still fighting for equality. So can you tell us how brand image empowers a woman in the workplace?
I think we bring along stereotypes, or we tend to stereotype people. For example, I'll give you an example, like working moms. Working moms, people tend to look at working moms as less committed, as someone without any kids. So these are the little things that you have to think about when you step into the working place, because people tend to look at you with their own sets of perception. So for example, if I know that I'm very, very attractive, for example, I would not upplay that part anymore because I do not want people to think of me negatively. So what I'll do is I will concentrate on making my skill set a lot more competent, mm-hmm, to be able to balance whatever stereotype that they would have of me.
Right.
You know, so these are the little things that I think sometimes women in the working place still have that disadvantage. People generally tend to think, oh, if you know you're talking about somebody sitting high up on the corporate ladder, it has to be a guy and not a woman. But I've seen women leaders who are good.
Do you have any interesting examples of brand image working its magic for women in the workplace?
Now, I can give you an example of a lady who actually came to see me. She was originally a housewife, or has been a housewife for, say, 5-6 years, if I'm not mistaken. And she looked, you know, she had that housewife look. So what happened was she wanted to join back to the working environment, but she wasn't sure because the company that she was with, or she was going to join, happened to be a high-end, you know, very corporate environment. So she came to me and we sort of changed her from everything, the way she walked, the way she conducted herself, etiquette part and all that. We covered everything from A to Z. And she became a lot more confident and she was very grateful for that. You know, so I think a lot of people out there, even if you are already, you know, someplace, somewhere, yeah, it is good to always reflect back, you know, or good to always ask for feedback, because along the way, as you grow, let's say when you are 20 or when you're 30 or 40, right, things change. How people perceive you change, you know. And if you want to, I always say this, as you progress further, you have to progress in whatever areas that you're in as well, not only on your looks.
Right. So let's say you've sort of made it in your career,
yes,
and you're maybe senior management. Would it be helpful to actually refresh or revamp your brand image?
Yeah,
you could, because you're no longer in your 30s, for example.
Mm-mm. So you cannot dress as how you were in your 30s. And if you're looking at your senior management, I'm sure one day you may want to be a CEO, for example, you know. So you need to get feedback from people now. So this is what we call the difference between a desired image as compared to your perceived professional image. So you may desire to become somebody there, but perhaps people are not perceiving you as that yet. Right. But if you don't ask, you will never know. Right?
Are there any resources that people can turn to if they want to sort of revamp their brand image?
Okay, one of the simplest thing is you can actually get feedback from your own colleagues, people that work with you, I mean close friends, all right? Ask them to be a little bit more honest, yeah, to give you, say, simple example would be, can you just give me 3 words to describe me now?
Mm.
Or 3 areas that you think that I can improve on. So now when you ask this, you have to be a little bit more objective. So you cannot ask your own relatives and ask your colleagues, because they would have different sets of ideas altogether. All right. Mm-hmm. But if you ask a group of close friends, colleagues that you have, then you'll be able to get a certain answer that will work for you. Right. Because that's how they think of you.
But beyond applying the principles of brand image, I think half the fight is conquered within yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the external, it's also the internal. And some behaviours or etiquette, as you put it, can be learned, but the overall results still vary from each individual. Have you any experience in having to transform a particularly difficult subject?
Interesting. Well, a subject will be difficult when he or she, number one, doesn't realize it or doesn't want to accept it. So then it will be a bit more challenging for people like us to be able to change him or her. Right. So yes, I have had a situation whereby this particular organization wanted me to send a message to this leader. It's a woman leader, and to say that as a head, she should dress certain way and she should behave certain way because they're dealing with finance and all that. But they wanted to do it in a softer approach. They didn't want to tell her that, you know, okay, there's something wrong with you. Can you dress up? Right. So they wanted to use me as a bridge for them to be able to tell all this message to her. But the problem was that she didn't see as that.
Okay.
So, and I didn't know how to, you know, tell her. So I suggested to the management and said, okay, why don't we do it like this? As in, like, we were positioned in such a way that she's the head. So these are the qualities that she has to project for her people to follow, right? Instead of telling her that there's something wrong with you. Yeah, but it was challenging because she herself never knew and she was actually quite negative. So when she came to me, she already had that mindset and stood thinking that her boss didn't like her.
Right.
And the boss is sending her because there's something wrong with her.
I see.
So immediately there was a wall, you know.
Mm.
So I spoke to her, you know, of course, giving her the idea that it was actually for her people and not for her. Slowly, then she opened up.
I see.
And then she changed. Not drastically, but at least, you know, we could see little tiny changes. Mm. There's a difference. As compared to someone who just comes to me and say, okay, hey, you know, can you do something with me? Then it's so much easier. So sometimes you have to do a test with them to see how much are they open to feedback.
Right. Mm. So tell me a little bit about the process of how you work with your clients. You work with corporate clients.
Yes.
And you also work with individuals.
Yes, I work with individuals. Not as much as I work with corporate clients. Because right now, our company, our organization has actually gone into corporate branding. So right now we are working with corporate organization, no longer as in like training people on, okay, this is how grooming is done, But we actually look at your brand values, your vision, your mission. All right. So for example, if your value system or your organization values were to say that I want all my people to live and breathe vibrancy or pioneering, you know, those or let's say integrity, professionalism and all that, I have to take all this and put it into the context of training and let your people behave and project that kind of brand. So that is in the organization part. For individuals, then I will always have to see what is their background, right? What is their buying power? What is their educational background? You know, your family. Like some ladies actually come to me after, you know, or after or during the process of where they are not in a good terms with their husband, for example. Right. So you must know, agak-agak, if there's such a word, you must you have the general feel of how they are first. And then you have to ask them, okay, where is the, what is the main objective they come for this consultation? And where is the area or the direction that they want to head?
Right.
Because if you do not know the history, you won't be able to create the future.
How do you get people to adopt certain etiquettes?
Now, etiquette is something that is the most difficult to teach. Right. I would put it, because like I said, it also belongs, it also because of your family background and all that, but there are certain things that's fixed. So sometimes even if you don't, whether you adopt or you don't adopt, I still have to teach you. I would put it in such a way that I plant a seed, so hopefully one day when the situation occurs, then you'll be like, you know, this actually, I was taught to do this before. Or if let's say one day circumstances had it that you did a mistake, then you'll be able to remember, oh, once upon a time, Wendy told me not to do that. So that's how we build in soft skills.
I read on your website that the study of brand image consulting could also lead to a lot of career options.
I think today, I would say that it has been a very rewarding journey for me. And to me, it's something that I would like to share with all the ladies out there. If doesn't matter whether you are a stay-at-home mom or whether you are, you know, you want to come out and become an entrepreneur or whether you're still in a corporate world, because brand image consulting is something that spans across everything. I'll give you an example. After studying, you can become a fashion stylist should you be a very good or should you be somebody who's very into fashion. Mm-hmm. You can end up like this, or you can end up to be a personal shopper for people. This is a trend that is starting to pick up very slowly, all right? Or you can become an image consultant or corporate brand image consultant, where you go into, like for us now, it's going into branding and no longer just image. Mm-hmm. So the career path is actually very wide. Now, if you are somebody who likes to stay in a corporate world, then when you take up this career option, you can actually end up as a HR in a human resource department, as a trainer, for example. Because when we do training, it's not only about soft skills. That's you as a brand image consultant would already know aspects of image as well, so you can incorporate into that as well. You know what I mean? So it's not only about, you know, people always have this perception, oh, if I need to be a little bit prettier to become an image consultant. It's not that. Your career option is so wide. So go into that. It's something that without cost, you don't have to, except for the cost fee itself, but it is something that you don't have to pay hundreds and thousands to start your own business.
Right.
And this is something which is really good. Look at me, for example. I'm a good example. How I started off zero. I started off in my little apartment in Puchong with nothing at all except for knowledge. So build yourself from there and slowly you'll be able to see that. You know, I have students who's now into selling accessories, opening up boutiques. So you see, you don't have to necessarily be a speaker. If you're not a good speaker, for example, that is the choice that you do not want to go to. I have students who's doing that now. I have students who's into beauty line, doing makeup, skincare and all that. So the fact that they have this brand image qualification with them, it gives them extra boost. I know more rather than just doing your makeup.
You've been listening to Wendy Lee, brand image consultant, founder of the Brand Image Consultancy Chapter 1 Asia and director of the Brand Image International Institute. This is Her Vantage on Enterprise. I'm Maya Tan on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.